Welcome to everybody. Some of you, I think, are regulars here. Go to St. John's, which is the Episcopal Church in town in Jackson, which runs this chapel. Some of you, I'm sure, are just visiting and here in this beautiful place, as we are. Again, this is I'm Paul Walker from Christ Church in Charlottesville, Virginia. This is my second of 3 weeks here as the visiting chaplain, and it's a great privilege to be with you this morning. And what's good about us being together is that even though, again, we're some regulars, many of us don't know each other, but we are bound together as brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're here to worship God, and God has a word for each of us, I am sure, this morning, because God is faithful. God loves you. God cares for you, and God wants to speak to you. So I'm going to preach on the gospel passage that I just read to you, and Jackson Hole is 1,800 miles away from the Atlantic Ocean, where I go sometimes. Jackson Hole is 675 miles away from the Pacific, yet this morning we're all sitting in a boat. You didn't realize that, but you might have floated the snake, or you've been on a boat on Jenny Lake or something, but you're actually in a boat right now. And you assume you're sitting in the sanctuary of the Chapel of Transfiguration, but you're actually sitting in what's called the nave. So this is a little nerdy, but just bear with me. The nave is the central part of a church, and it's called, the main part of the church is called a nave because it takes its name from the Latin navis, and that means ship or vessel or boat. And that's a derivative of navy, of course, in English. Now, when you walk through the doors and you sat down in your pew, you didn't know you were in a boat, but if you look up there and you see the inverted ceiling right above you, you'll notice that the vaulted roof is designed that way to look like an inverted keel of a boat. And the reason that churches are built this way is not because the early church architects were yachtsmen. They were not. But from early on, the church itself identified itself as and with a boat or a ship. So the reason is this. Then as now, I would say even, the believers, and by church I don't mean the building itself. This is just the representation of it. But as believers, the church felt that they were a ship tossed on a sea of disbelief and worldliness and persecution, especially in the early church. And so the church was meant to be this vessel that you boarded to reach safe harbor on the other side with its cargo of human souls. And the same is true today. Also, when the church was being persecuted, it was useful because they didn't want to identify themselves with a cross, but the ship's mast forms a cross. So that's another reason why we are in a boat this morning. So there are a couple of references in Scripture that I'm going to give, and obviously the gospel passage I read is the second one, but the first one, it goes all the way back to Genesis, and you can probably think about what it is. It's Noah's Ark. Now, the writer, theologian, who's now passed away, Frederick Buechner, one of my faves, says that it's the resemblance between Noah's Ark with all of its animals and the church today is worth considering. And he says this, in one as in the other, just about everything imaginable is aboard. The clean and the unclean both, they're all piled together, helter-skelter, predators and prey, wild and tame, sleek and beautiful ones, and ones that are ugly as sin. There are sly young foxes and impossible old cows. Not pointing any fingers. There are hawks and there are doves. Some are wise as owls and some are silly as geese. Some meek as lambs. And he says, it's not all enjoyable. There's backbiting. There's a pecking order. But even at its worst, there's at least one thing that makes it bearable within, and that is the storm without. The thing that makes it bearable within is the storm without. with wild winds and terrible waves, with no help in sight. And he concludes, "And at its best, there is, if never clear sailing, shelter from the blast, a sense of somehow heading in the right direction despite everything, a ship to keep afloat, and like a beacon in the dark, the hope of finding safe harbor at last." The one thing that makes it bearable within is the storm without. And I would say not just bearable, but really life-saving. And again, the boat is just a metaphor for our faith in God through Christ. With the storm, raging from all sides, you are in a safe place, hidden in another passage. In, Paul says in a passage in Colossians, I think, that your life is hidden in Christ. You're in a safe place. As Dylan famously sang, "Try imagining a place where it's always safe and warm. Come on in," she said. "I'll give you shelter from the storm." You know that song. The gospel itself is shelter from the storm. And the storm is blowing without in the scripture I just read today. We read about Jesus and his disciples in a boat. Text says a great windstorm arose. The waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. And I don't know if you've ever been in a boat with this actually happens. It is terrifying when this happens. Storms are not new. And this is, of course, the storms are metaphors for what we have going on in our lives. All of us do. We all have our own private catalog of storms, don't we? Even when we're on vacation, that make us feel battered, that make us feel far from the land, that make us feel like the wind is against us and we're just trying to get there. And you have your own versions of this. It could be your anxiety or a relationship or you name it. We're all part of this, being tossed in a world in which storms are everywhere. To be in the world, in fact, it's just to be subject to storms. Now, this is so interesting, and I don't know if you noticed this, but when I read the scripture, the storms do not bother Jesus not one bit. Did you see what he was doing? He was asleep in the stern. I mean, if you've ever been in a boat like that, you cannot imagine being asleep in the stern, and yet he was asleep in the stern. I am not like that. I'm crying, freaking out like the disciples, you know, they jolt Jesus away. "Do you not care that we're perishing, Lord?" And so we are in fact like the disciples because we all need Jesus to take the helm of our boats, our personal boats. And if Jesus isn't at the helm, then I would say we're all sailing on a ship of fools. As the Grateful Dead sing in that song by that name, "Don't lend your hand or raise no flag atop a ship of fools." You might remember in another gospel passage, as you think about all the gospels, in another boat, during another storm, Jesus comes to the disciples and he's walking on the water. And before Jesus gets in the boat, they think he's a ghost and they get very afraid. But Jesus says, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And then you might remember Peter, always impetuous, says, "All right, if it's you, Lord, command me to come to you on the water." And he gets out of the boat, takes a few steps on the water, then down he goes. And then Peter cries out something that I think is true and real and universal and applies to each of us this morning. He cries out the very thing that you and I cry out when the waves and the battering winds hit us. And he cries out the one thing that I want you to remember from this sermon this morning. It is the recognition of our human predicament, but it's also the true recognition of God's mighty power. Peter, sinking down, cries out, "Lord, save me. Lord, save me." It's a prayer to pray for all of us, night and day. Lord, save me. It's the right response to the storms of life. And the Lord does save Peter, and he comes aboard the ship. Then the winds cease, the waves recede, the storm dies down. Then they sail presumably to the other side in peace and calm, just like in today's passage where Jesus bellows, "Peace, be still," to those storms around you. Now, Jesus' answer to Peter's plea, "Lord, save me," is only temporarily answered by a strong hand lifting Peter up from the waves. "Lord, save me," Peter's plea, is finally and fully answered not in the wood of the boat, but on the wood of the cross. Jesus saves Peter. Jesus saves you. Jesus saves me. Jesus saves the world by not saving himself. He died for the sins of the whole world on the wood of the cross. Death, evil, hatred, the storms of life are finally defeated. And he rose from the grave to take us to safe harbor at last. Amen.
Amen.